This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, gather round. Please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the great book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, where we left off last time. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Just before we begin, I would like to invite the entire world to take a plane, take a train, take a bicycle, and come to my school in Coco, Florida, Sherry Medlock School, Coco, Florida, on August 3rd at 6:30 p.m. for an amazing supernatural video by Scott Merson, our anointed vessel. Scott is a chosen vessel. God has given him a supernatural gift. Holy Spirit tells him to take pictures. He obeys, and the picture reveals the spiritual realm right here in the physical realm. August 3rd, 6:30 p.m., Scott Merson and the awesome video. We want to say a hello to Scott's beautiful family, his wife Angela, and his great children, Max and Olivia. And so, Scott, we're looking forward to that awesome stuff. Okay, and now Malachi. Malachi is a prophecy of these end times, and it means my messenger. Now, in chapter 1, he gave us an end-time message that Russia is coming against the United States. It's called the Battle of Hamagog. And in chapter 2 last time, he told us of the true priest, the sons of Levi, and the false priest. Now, you'll find out what he's going to tell us today. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now, this verse prophesies the first advent of Jesus and the second advent. We know that Jesus is the message of the covenant because God made a blood covenant with Abraham that through Abraham's seed, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, down on through the Virgin Mary, the Messiah would come to pay the sin debt. So the first advent has already happened. So now he's speaking of the second advent of Jesus. There are seven trump events. At the seventh trump, Jesus will come. At the sixth trump, the pretend to be Jesus will come, the Antichrist. We are now in the fifth trump, which is a time of learning. It will soon come to an end, and we're getting closer to the second advent.
Verse 2, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth?
Now, who shall abide and who shall stand? Now, Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians that just before his coming, there's going to be a great apostasy. Many will fall off because they're being taught to fly away with the Antichrist, thinking he's Jesus. I'll tell you who shall abide, and I'll tell you who shall stand. The elect, Romans 11, 7,000, will not bow the knee to Antichrist because you've been taught the word of God. When Jesus comes, he is coming with a cup of wrath about which he prayed in the garden. And it's a wide-mouthed bowl, and he's going to pour it out on all those on planet Earth who are worshiping the Antichrist, including the deceived part of the body of Christ. And only the elect will stand. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap.
Now, if you put silver or gold into a fiery furnace, as that heat comes, it turns into liquid. And the slag, which is a lighter substance, goes to the side. But the pure silver, which has substance in it, stays in the center. For any Christian who is feeding on only slag, light, milk, word, you will go to the side and you will not abide. You will fall off to the Antichrist. If you are a pure silver vessel, it won't even burn you. The fire doesn't burn you. It just makes you shinier. It makes you pretty because you have substance. You're rooted and grounded in the work of God, and you shall not be moved. What about the soap? In early America, they used lye soap. It not only cleaned everything, it cleaned you out. And so when Jesus comes, he's going to cleanse that Temple Mount because a very dirty Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on, is going to be standing there. So there's going to be a great cleansing of the temple.
Verse 3, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver.
Now, we had that deep study last week of the sons of Levi. We referred to Hebrews 7 and other places. That's the true priesthood. When Jesus comes, only the true priest, signified by the sons of Levi, will be gathered around him. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Only the true priest, and you are a king and a priest. You don't have to be preaching up in a pulpit. Revelation 1 says you, Christian, are king and a priest. The true priest will gather around him, but the others, the false preachers, even though they don't mean any harm by it, teaching the lie fly proverb, will not be able to gather around them. The purging will be that they will be embarrassed and realize they have worshipped the devil and led their flock to do so.
They may offer unto the Lord an offering unto righteousness.
Hosea 6:6 says God wants our love. The word there is mercy, but it means love. The very elect, the Zadok, not only those who will come with Jesus, but those of us who will hear and stay steady, we're going to offer him love, but we will do the body change. And for 1,000 years, we're going to offer love to our Lord. We offer him love now. We love him when we love his word. And that's what he wants, love. Only the Zadok will be around him. Read Ezekiel 44, you'll hear it, and Revelation 20.
Verse 4, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord.
Love is what he wants, you see. You were created for his pleasure. He wants your love. Do you love him?
As in the days of old, and as in the former years.
The days of old means the first earth age, the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, age, eon, when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God. Before Satan did that, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, we all loved God with a pure love. He was the lover of our soul. There was no one and nothing else except we loved. We were one. What has been will be again, says the preacher in Ecclesiastes. Pure love restored. Hallelujah.
5, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers.
Okay. He says, all right, judgment seat begins at the pulpit. He's talking to saved people. He's still talking about the true priest and the false priest. Now, sorcerers in the natural means drug pushers, and of course the real drug pushers are going to get it. But he means in the pulpit. If you drug people with an illusion, with a lie, to make them safe and telling them they're going to fly, you are a sorcerer. See, false illusion, false comfort. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Be careful when you're comfortable.
And against the adulterers.
Adulterers means idolatry. Remember, the whole world will have wed spiritually the Antichrist, half the body of Christ. So they get judged. They have gone to the wrong bridegroom. Having gone to church all their lives, loving Jesus, yes, but not knowing the word. They've been listening to slag instead of pure silver.
And against false swearers.
That means liars. The life by proverb, Ezekiel 13, King James Bible. I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls.
And against those who oppress the hirelings.
In other words, you preach for money. You say two words and then you beg for money. Okay.
In his wages. The widow and the fatherless.
Now, in the spiritual, the widow means a woman who is not married to God, and the fatherless means a person whose God is not their father. Because you do not preach my word, many of the people who go to your church are actually lost. Did you know a lot of people going to church are not saved? See, it's not a head thing. It's a heart thing.
And that turn aside the stranger from his life.
And you don't even welcome the homeless in because you know that they are not going to be able to give you money. But I can tell you what, we surely welcome the homeless here. Sometimes I have a room full, and I love every one of them.
Fear not me.
And love not God. Fear means love.
Saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, for I am the Lord. I change not.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
God says, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's name changed to Israel, had 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs, their descendants as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. God says, the reason I've chosen you is because I have chosen your family through whom Messiah Jesus would come. And the reason he chose that family, and some of us are of that family, this speak of the tribe of Levi, the reason is because that family did not betray God in the world that then was when we were in a spiritual body when Satan rebelled. Remember, there was one-third, a small group who fought for God, and they were chosen from before the foundation of the earth. See, you really do get what you deserve when you come in now. However, you can change that.
Even from the day of your fathers, you're going away from my ordinances.
He says, I spoiled you. I made you fat and sassy, and then you don't need me anymore. In Revelation 15, those of us who overcome the hour of temptation of the Antichrist will sing the overcomer's song, the song of Moses, which is found in Deuteronomy 32. God uses a figure of speech, Yeshua, and waxed fat. He says, I spoiled you fat and sassy, and I blessed you. Then you don't need me anymore. Look at America. Once upon a time, the cross was truly lifted up and Jesus was the Lord. Oh, Max and Olivia, the first schools in America were held in the church. It was to teach the children the Bible and to read the Bible. And the only reason they taught them, they didn't call it math, they called it arithmetic, was so they could count their tithes and give it to the Lord. Look where we've gone. Now we're fat and sassy. Now America needs to repent. We are in trouble.
And have not kept them.
Not kept the word.
Return unto me, and I will return unto you.
We just had a day of repentance for the whole world, based on 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. America, repent. Return to Jesus. Make Jesus the Lord and the Bible the book. That is our only hope.
Say it, the Lord of hope.
Yes.
But you said, wherein shall we return?
You say, I didn't know we'd gone astray. See, when you've been fed the slag, a lie, you don't even know what the truth is.
Verse 8, will a man rob God?
Uh-oh.
Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, a tithe is one-tenth of every dollar that comes into your hand. If you don't give it to the Lord, you have robbed God. An offering is what you add on after you've paid the tithe. Some people say, I'm giving an offering, but I don't tithe. No, you're not. You're paying back past due tithes. The offering is after you give the tithe. Abraham started that. Hebrews 7 in Genesis, Abraham, after returning from the slaughter, where he had rescued his son Lot from the enemy, brought back the spoils, gold and silver, and he was met by Melchizedek, and Abraham paid Melchizedek his tithe. Melchi, king, Zedek, just, king of the just, without father, without mother, without beginning, without ending, one likened to the Son of Man. It was Jesus Christ, before Jesus ever came to earth, a pre-incarnate Jesus. So he instituted the tithe. Now, a lot of people say, we're not supposed to do that now because we're in the New Testament. Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, you tithe anise and cumin and all these. And he said, you leave out love. He said, put love in it, but don't leave out the other. You're still supposed to tithe. He didn't come to change the law. And the offering is 2 Corinthians 9. The offering, he multiplies that back, but it must be after the tithe. He will multiply it 30, 60, and 100, and he multiplies your seed sown.
Verse 9, you're cursed with a curse.
If you don't do this, you are cursed. America's cursed. Do you know that if all the money that went into Washington, D.C. from our taxes, oh Lord have mercy, if they would take one-tenth of that from the government and pay a tithe to a Word Christian place, in 3 weeks, America would be free of the $18 trillion going to $21 trillion. The nation is cursed.
But you have robbed me, even this whole nation.
America.
Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house.
Now, a storehouse is where God's word is taught. And meat means the depth of the word, the mystery of God, the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the order of the seven trumps. It does not mean a milk house where you get John 3:16 and that's it, and a quarterly or a book about the book, a one point and three, a one verse and 3 points, or a tradition of men which makes void the word of God. So if you are paying your tithes and offerings to a place where the true word of God is not taught, God does not get that. Now, he says, now he's going to tell you why you're to do this.
And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts.
God says, test me. See, usually God is testing us. We're being tested in the fiery furnace. Now God says, test me. See what he's going to do for you.
If I will not open you the windows of heaven.
Blessing number one. Now, where God is heaven. So, you open up the windows and there is God. You will see God. Now you say, me in the flesh? Okay, I'm a teacher and I explain something and a student says, I see, I understand. You will start to understand the heart of God. Do you know most Christians don't know God at all? You just ask him to do stuff for you and you say, I worship, and you don't even know his heart. You begin to know his heart. You understand how he works. You understand his timing. You understand his feeling. He's very emotional. You feel his heart. You feel his pulse. You feel his mind. You feel his voice. You feel his love. You feel his frustration. You cry when he cries. You laugh when he laughs.
And pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Almost every Christian always thinks that means he's going to pour you out money. Listen to me. The blessing is God. In the future, heaven on earth, the very elect are the only ones who do not get an allotment of land. We inherit God. If your heart is right, your blessing is God. He will give you himself. His left hand will be under your head. His right hand will embrace you. The Holy Spirit will flow on you, and you will have visions and revelations of God. He will reveal himself to you and knock on your door and say, here I am. I'm the Father. Let me in. He will reveal himself and knock on your heart's door and say, here I am, the Son. Let me in. He will knock on your heart's door 3 times and say, here I am, the Holy Spirit. Let me in. He will give you himself. There is no greater ecstasy. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of God, touch them, touch them, touch them. Let them shout, my God, you dead people, come alive. God is in the house.
Amen.
Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Now, that's good. Sometimes the enemy gets too bad. God says, okay, you've done enough damage to Scott. You've done enough damage to Sherry. They do everything I say. They fought the demons, and now they're the apple of my eye. They're the pupil of my eye. Back off, Buster.
Amen.
And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground.
Because, see, if you're a true Christian, you are bearing fruit. Don't tell me you love Jesus and don't bear fruit. You couldn't help it. You would have to call on the telephone. You would have to get in your car and go. You would have to text. You would have to witness. Everybody you meet your mission field. And you are commissioned to bear fruit. Jesus is the vine and you are the branch. You'd bear fruit. You would be winning souls to Jesus. You would be witnessing. You would be bearing fruit. But, see, the devil comes to keep you from doing that. But God will say, no, back off, devil. That's my fruit bearing. That's a produce fruit bearer there.
Neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field.
The timing of your destiny is perfect. Not too soon and not too late. Perfect timing. Do not be afraid of it. He's got it exactly on his day planner for you to walk into your destiny. Hallelujah. Set time is come.
Saith the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed.
Nations means ethnos in the Hebrew. This means all the ethnic races. In Genesis 1:26, that word Adam means humankind, mankind in general, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And God said it's very good, the six-day creation, hunters and fishes. What it means is, while the gospel came to the seed of Abraham, as you bring your tithes into a word house, now we have the media, the word can go out through the air to the whole world, and whosoever will may come. All people, red, yellow, brown, black, and white, will say, praise the Lord, I've heard the salvation story, and call you blessed.
For this shall be a delightsome land.
Land is dirt. Now you are a spirit, and your spirit is the intellect of your soul. The soul is your will and emotion and your personality. You have a spiritual body. You had one in the first earth age. You've got one hidden in there. But right now, you're living in a dirt pot. Clay is dirt. Now, the next time somebody says to you, you're just dirt, you say, you're absolutely right, but I'm good dirt. Hallelujah. And so, what is this about delightsome? Don't tell me that you love Jesus and you bring doom and gloom. You think that this speaker doesn't have troubles. You think I don't know the depths of despair, but I refuse wherever I go. Something emanates from. If you are really saved, joy will come out of you. Happiness is not the same thing as joy. There's an energy of love and joy that makes a difference. When you walk in the room, things change. Energies move. You'll be the delightsome land. Hallelujah. Do you make people feel better? Or to make them feel worse.
Praise the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Verse 13, your words have been stout against me.
Uh-oh.
Praise the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein have we spoken against thee? 14, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?
You say, well, I can't really tithe because, see, if I tithe, I won't have enough. If I give this offering, I'm not going to be paid this bill. Well, join the crowd. I never have had enough. I just give it to God first. You do it mournfully. That's why you don't get your blessing. You gave it begrudgingly. You gave it because you ought to. You didn't because you were free and hilariously. Hallelujah. I'm trusting you, God. I'm going to give it all. And you dance and you sing. Can't wait to tithe. Can't wait to give an offering. Of course you're not blessed. You didn't give it with a pure heart.
15, and now recall the proud, happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered.
Now you say, but look at the people in the world, those rich people, they don't tithe. They are under a different law. The tithe and offering is for God's children so he can bless you. It's simply so he can bless you. But the acrostic, which is something hidden for God elect, Psalm 37, it says it looks like the wicked get away with it. But no, they're not. They're going to be as the fat of a lamb on a spittle. Poof, lake of fire.
16, then they that fear the Lord and speak often one to another.
That love the Lord and talk to each other about the Lord.
Of the Lord hearkened and heard it.
God listens to that. When we talk and brag on God, he says, whoa, they're talking about me.
And the book of remembrance was written before him.
God keeps books. You know why? He's the Word. And you put words in a book. And he has a book of remembrance about people that love him and talk about him in a good way.
For them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name.
That love the Lord and think upon his name. All right, he puts all this in a book. Now you love him, so he's writing your name there. His name, Revelation 19:13, is called the Word of God. See, right now, all of you are thinking upon his name because his name is the Word of God. The sacred name of the Lord, L-O-R-D, in the Hebrew, is Yahweh. It's not Jehovah. It's Y-H-V-H. So let's think on his name. Let's say, Lord, we're thinking on your name, Yahweh. Ready? Lord, we're thinking on your name, Yahweh. Let's say, praise the name, Yahweh. Praise the name, Yahweh. He wrote it in a book.
Verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels.
Okay, Peter says you are a living stone, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Now, in the world that then was, Isaiah 14, before you were in a spiritual body, God called you jewels and stones. Then a jewel is a stone. There you're called a stone of fire. God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. You are the jewels of God. There you were, ruby red, pearl white, beautiful, onyx black. You were amethyst yellow, and you were amber brown, and there you were, and you were beautiful. He calls you a jewel. Now he says, when I make up my jewels, as we come out into this harsh, 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 one time in the flesh world, we get a little tarnished. Some of the glitter gets rubbed off. It's not as red as it was. It's not as black as it was. It's not as white as it was. And so when he makes up his jewels, we're going to go into God's makeup room, and he's going to restore ruby red, pearl white, onyx black, amethyst yellow, topaz brown. Hallelujah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And you never have to do your makeup again.
And I would spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. O king, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not.
In Ezekiel 44, the true priesthood, the Zadok, it says we will discern between the profane and the evil. We would teach and reign with Jesus 1,000 years.
Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven all the proud, and they that shall do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts.
The elements shall burn with fervent heat when Jesus comes. Elements in the Greek is rudiments. All of the false teaching would disintegrate at the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We shall leave them neither root nor branch.
All the dead branches, all the dead root. Because you are not silver, you have no substance. You're just slag. You won't be able to stand.
Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings.
Wings in the Hebrew, laser beams of healing. We use this when we pray for people to be sick, like a doctor sends a laser beam in and heals the disease. This world is sick. It is diseased with sin. It's so thick, we're smothering in it. When Jesus comes, his laser beam, right there, pow, all of the sin disease is gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now guess what the result is? Listen to this.
And you should go forth and go up as cattle from the stall.
The manuscript said, you'll leap for hours because you are free, like cattle shut up in a cold country there where they keep them in stalls all winter long, and it's spring, and they get out and they buck and they don't jump and dance. It'll be so great. Right now, sin is so powerful. We're smothering in it. You can breathe it. You can hardly stand it. We're going to be free. Holy Rura, pure breath again, pure love, pure life again. Hallelujah.
Verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes on the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this.
The elect will assist the Lord as all the devil and all of his followers walk into the lake of fire.
Saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 4, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb. For all Israel with the statutes and judgments.
In other words, remember the word of the Lord.
Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Now, this is a prophecy of the first advent of Jesus and the second advent. Elijah, it means the anointing and spirit of Elijah. The Elijah anointing always tells you there are two fathers. I tell you that. There's God our Father, and then there is Satan who beguiled Eve in the garden and bore Cain. John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. His first words were, repent, ye generation of vipers. Vipers, the serpent, meaning the devil, and generation would be the children of the devil. The two witnesses are going to tell you of the two fathers. I tell you the two fathers. Scott Merson tells you the two fathers. There's a devil. His children are the Kenites. That's what's ripped up America. My messenger, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Malachi, Malachi. Jesus is coming again. Let us clap.
Amen.
Next week we begin the great book of Gospel of St. John. Don't you think it's going to be weak. We're going to go deep. deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the waterspouts. Well, right now it's time for Mystery Moment with Scott and Sherry. Joel 2, blow the trumpet in Zion. Hi, Scott. I'm looking forward to your presentation.
Hi, Sherry. I'm looking forward to it, too, very much.
I bet you are. What's your first question, please?
Okay, our first caller says, I enjoy the Mystery Moment with you and Scott. Why did Jesus say in Matthew 18, if your eye offends you, pluck it out?
Jesus uses the parts of our body, like eye, hands, and feet, to symbolize the body of Christ. And what he means here, an eye is what you see, what you understand. It's a seer, S-E-E-R, a prophet. But if you are getting understanding from a false prophet, disassociate yourself from that. Pluck that out. That doesn't mean literally pluck your eye out. Just like the foot transport. If you are going to a place where you are getting pablum and wrong things and not every word of God, don't go there. Cut off that member of the body of Christ to you that teaches you lies and keeps you from reaching what God means for you to be.
I know that also speaks to us as the proper order of the church.
Yes.
With each, the ministry in
yes,
the church.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Individually or corporately, yes.
Yes. The next question comes from a listener, and they're also in Matthew 18 also. It says, Jesus said, despise not these little ones, for in heaven their angels always have the face of my Father which is in heaven. Can you explain, please?
Yes, the little ones represent the elect, the 7,000 here at the end, and there's been a remnant in every generation, chosen before the foundation of the earth. In Revelation chapter 1, it says in heaven that the elect's angels do always behold the face of our Father which in heaven. There are 7 of them. They are specifically assigned to the 7,000 at the end, and when one of us gets in real trouble, they can get God's face, and he'll say, go and help. Now, that's not the same as angels that help you and camp round about you and that sort of thing. This is especially assigned for the elect because God protects his elect because we're on an assignment.
Amen. Next caller, they must have listened to the Day of Repentance. They want to know, in the Day of Repentance, y'all pray. And they said we're prayer warriors, too. They wanted to know.
They said you're the prayer warriors,
yeah,
too.
You
Scott,
and me, yeah.
Scott and Jerry, prayer warriors, that's what it said.
And they wanted to know why we say, I agree in Jesus' name.
Because in Matthew 18:19, Jesus says, if two or more of you agree as touching anything on earth that you shall ask, it shall be done for you of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, it does not mean a Rolls Royce or a big bunch of money. It means the raw material that you need to do God's work. And of course, if one of our beloved has a need, we pray for that. So we agree, the power of agreement. Thank you, Scott. Don't forget Scott's program, August 3rd, 6:30 p.m., right here at my school. Awesome stuff, Scott.
Yeah,
it's going to be
you.
Great. Right now, if you're not saved, I want you to pray with me. Please pray with this with me and mean it and be saved. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your truth.
Grow me in your truth.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Now, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. If you were saved, please call and tell me so. Now, let me pray for those of you sick. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus, Father, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beams of the healing virtue of Jesus go to the north and the south and east and west. Penetrate into the head. Let headaches stop. Into the sinuses. Let sinusitis be gone. Into the nose. Into the cheekbones. Into ears and eyes and throats. In Jesus' mighty name. Hearts and lungs and backbones and spines and legs and feet and toes. Into the bloodstream. Into the kidneys. Be healed. healed in the name and the power of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Receive it and believe it. Call me and tell me that, okay? Now, here's your love line of the week. From my heart to your heart. Empty your basket and God will fill it again. Now, you'll have to find out and go deep to know what that means. But it's very important. I live by this. Empty your basket and God will fill it again. Come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Come each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. We always pray for the sick. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now wait for my announcer, and I want you to call me. Leave your questions, leave your prayer requests, leave your comments, and tell me you love me, because I love you.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live. with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live.
Like a river within me, the thoughts to express are so many. Wanna bless you, God. Can't be silent. I think of the mercies you show me. My lips began overflowing. Great is your love. Such gratitude for all that you do, Jesus, to you.
Forever more, forever.
You are the God who is holy, Lord. You are awesome and holy, Lord. You are the God who is holy.
Listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.